Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first verse of that hymn we just sang ends with that refrain, "And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing." Have you ever wondered about that verse? What might that refer to? You know, when he mentioned heaven, I imagine that the author, Isaac Watts, had the angels in mind. At Christmas, the angels sang praises over the hills of Bethlehem where the shepherds tended their flocks. So that part at least makes sense. But what's that about nature singing?
No thorns.
No thorns. That would be nice. No weeds.
All of creation.
It does kind of sound kind of strange, though, doesn't it, to think of nature singing? But then again, that hymn isn't the only song that speaks of nature singing. If you were listening to or reading along with that psalm this morning, it too suggests and it calls upon everything God created to give him praise. Have you ever thought about why God created the universe in the first place? We were talking a little bit about this in our Bible class this morning, but you know, why did he create the earth and the stars and the sun and the moon? Why did he create such an incredible assortment of life on the earth? It really seems that it would have been a lot simpler to make things, well, simpler. Well, Martin Luther had a thought about why God did that. In the section of his small catechism that deals with the Apostles' Creed, Luther declares that God created everything out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any worthiness or merit in me. In other words, God created everything not because we're so good and deserving. Rather, God creates because he is so good. The Apostle John declares that God is... The Apostle John declares that God is... That's right, love. Just checking. Yeah, God is love. So in love, God poured out life upon the earth. In love, he created that diversity of life, the beauty of life, and even the sound of life. As God is creating in Genesis 1, we hear him say 6 times that what he has done is good. In fact, very good. So consider the amazing array of creatures that he's made. From ice fish and emperor penguins to whooping cranes and giraffes. And creation sings God's praises as it draws attention to the work of its creator. By simply being what God intended it to be, all creation sings God's praise. You might think of it this way. When you give a Christmas gift to a family member or a friend, you know it's appreciated and valued not just because that person says, "Oh, thank you, you shouldn't have," but because they will actually make use of it. If they stuffed that gift in a closet and never used it or even repurposed it by giving it to someone else, you'd have to conclude that your gift wasn't worth much to them. So when creatures live as God intended them to live, they're giving him praise and honor. In our psalm, the author calls upon the entire creation to praise God. He calls them to be what God has made them to be. Birds praise God by being birds, elephants by being elephants, dolphins by being dolphins, chipmunks by being chipmunks. And we're not going to talk about mosquitoes. That, you know, if you know anything about me, that's my one big beef with God and making mosquitoes. But as each of them does this, their praise goes out both in action and in sound. In a book titled The Great Animal Orchestra, Bernie Krause suggests that throughout creation, the sound of music is heard in rhythms and trills and melodies. Think of creation as a symphony and a choir with different instruments and voices, each of them contributing to the soundscape of creation in their own particular way. In verse 7 of Psalm 148, the psalmist begins with water. Oceans, seas, lakes, and rivers, where we can hear humpback whales singing and otters splashing and waves crashing on the shore. He then moves to the air with the howling of wind and crackling of lightning, rain splashing on the ground, even the thumping of hail, along with owls hooting and hummingbird wings beating the air and wrens trilling and cranes bugling. And then the psalmist moves to the land, where the trumpeting of elephants, the snorting of horses, the barking of dogs, and even the crunching of snow beneath our feet speak to the God who in love made all of that. But I don't know if you noticed this. In that psalm, the sequence of everything in creation is listed from top to bottom, from the heavens to the earth. And in the verses that deal with the earth, humans come in last on the list. Now, one theologian suggests that humans come last because they are the most reluctant to offer their praises to God. That since we prefer to praise ourselves and what we can do, we have to be encouraged and coaxed and persuaded to offer our praise to God. Do you know what the most difficult instrument in an orchestra, I've been trying to figure out how to phrase that so it sounds right. What's the most difficult instrument to play in an orchestra? French horn is tough. Anything with strings is tough. Second fiddle. I'm honest. Second fiddle is always in the background, always in someone else's shadow. And that's hard for us. Because we want to be noticed. We want to be up front. And that's exactly what we saw when Adam and Eve stepped away from God's plan, turning the harmony of creation into discord. And worst of all, death, which came from their disobedience, continues to silence much of the music of creation altogether. We hear that distortion in the groaning of one who is hungry for food and the sobbing of one who grieves their dead husband, wife, or child. Songs of delight and laughter are all too often replaced by cries of pain and sorrow, and voices that are intended to praise are often turned to criticism and hate, while thanks are replaced by grumbling and complaining for what we lack. And at times there's no sound at all. The songs of ivory-billed woodpeckers, great ox, passenger pigeons, and the like are no longer heard today. Their voices, voices that God lovingly created, have been extinguished, extinct. And we drown out the songs of whales with the rumbling of ships and the chirping of birds with the roar of cars. And when we don't want to hear the noises of our machines, we plug our ears with earbuds or cover them up with headphones in an effort to tune out the world around us. We prefer to live in our own little worlds, within ourselves, separated from those around us. Last Friday in the church year was a most gruesome recalling of one man's attempt to silence creation's praise. On December 28th, the church remembers the Holy Innocents, those children under the age of 2, whom Herod slaughtered in his attempt to cease the song of welcome for the Son of God as he came into the world. John put it this way in his gospel: he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Herod's refusal to welcome and celebrate that child was simply a precursor to what the religious authorities and others would do to Jesus after he grew to be a man. They couldn't tolerate, much less celebrate, his presence. And we do much the same thing today. Isn't ignoring a gift the same as never having received it? We've been given the greatest gift ever in the person of Jesus Christ. And yet, how often our day simply goes by with scarcely a thought of him. Does he have any impact on the decisions we make or the way that we spend the blessings God has given to us? Probably typically not. To blissfully live as if God isn't important or even present is no different than tucking the gift into the back of the closet. But when the need arises, we certainly want to know that we can pull it out. That psalm this morning really gives us an interesting contrast. Non-human creation offers up its praises spontaneously and continuously. In spite of the brokenness which distorts creation's praises, they still continue to rise up to God. Isaiah spoke of the trees clapping at the coming of the Messiah, and Paul says that creation groans in anticipation of its completed redemption. In the context of this psalm, the rest of creation leads the way. Creation praises God freely, while it's you and I who need to be encouraged and sweet-talked. But there's hope. Hope for us, and thus hope for all of creation. Although we've given God nothing but trouble almost from the moment he created us, he hasn't washed his hands of us. In fact, he hasn't washed his hands of any of his creation. His love simply wouldn't let us go. He wouldn't let death be the final word. He wouldn't allow his creation to be dominated with silence. All of the Bible and all of human history since Christ died and rose for us shows us, as one wise woman put it, the limitless patience of the Creator that he continues to bother with this world at all. And he showed this best when he sent his Son to restore his creation by first restoring the very ones who had caused him the most trouble. Jesus himself tells us that we are of far greater value than the sparrows that he created. Think about that. God loves you more than all the wonders of his world, more than the whales, more than the birds, more than the precious and colorful jewels found in the earth, more than Yosemite, more than anything. As his crowning achievement, we have more reason than anything else in creation to praise God. And the praise of broken humanity began to rise at Christmas. We hear it in the songs of Elizabeth and Mary. We heard it this morning in the song of Simeon, and we hear it as our voices join with creation even today as we sing. In Christ, God gives us the opportunity to lead the way, to take our place as conductors of Christ, of creation's symphony once more. And we can do that because Jesus was born on Christmas in order to give his life and rise again so that we might know the fullness of our Father's love. Creation not only praises God for his original work, but now also for the new work that has taken place in Christ, a new work that will one day fully remove the disharmonies and the out-of-tune notes that we hear now and replace them with a new song of a restored creation. Even now, broken though it may be, God's creation resounds with sounds of praise. The ceiling of this cathedral that we call Earth is painted with all the colors of the rainbow and dotted with brilliant stars. The mountains form walls and trees that create arches and archways, and in all of the rooms and nooks and crannies, we can hear choirs and symphonies of sound making music of praise and thanks. Let heaven and nature sing. And let us add our joy to the world, repeating the sounding praise. For the Lord has come with his mercy, and even now rules the world and all that is in it. with truth and grace, and with wonders of his love. Amen.